This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105.3. The Fan Rangers baseball is coming up at 5 o'clock. They're in Baltimore. And CY is coming up in 20 minutes. We'll talk with the CY here about these Rangers and what they might do next. We already have some movement. Let's catch up with Jared Sandler here, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing on your home of the Rangers. Jared, how the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good, thank you. So we get Dane Dunning back, huh? What's he been up to?
Yeah, pitching. You know, with Round Rock, he was, I think it was reported last week during the homestand, he was around just in case the Rangers needed him. They ultimately decided not to activate him, so he went back to Round Rock. But, yeah, I mean, you know, here for some level of insurance gives them some options with a little bit of unknown, especially until Nathan Eovaldi's added back to the rotation this weekend. So, Evo's throwing a bullpen session today, and I think the plan is for him to start on Friday against the Mariners, but yeah, Dane Dunning's here with Caleb Bosley going four innings yesterday. He wouldn't be available this entire series. And so, you know, I think they just want to make sure they have some protection given the fact that, you know, they got a quasi bullpen game for one of these games with Jacob Latz, the intended starter or bulk pitcher. And, you know, in case things don't go as planned, they just want to make sure that they got what they need.
So Dane Dunning, the Rangers 2023 Pitcher of the Year, then things got away from him a little bit. And, you know, I thought we'd seen the last of him there when he got designated or whatever that was a couple of months back. How's things been going for him? Has he figured out what the Rangers wanted him to get done?
Yeah, so he's actually been designated for assignment twice, Gavin, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's interesting. You don't the reason he's stuck with the organization, no one's claimed him because, you know, obviously, everyone is valuable at a certain price, but teams have determined that, you know, they don't want to pay what Dane Dunning's making. And if they claimed him, that's what they would be on the hook for. At the same time, Dane doesn't have the service time, and he's making about a little more than $2.6 million this year. He doesn't have the service time to refuse an assignment without losing that salary. So procedurally speaking, when he gets DFA'd and goes unclaimed, he can refuse an assignment and elect free agency, but then he would lose his salary. And so, you know, ultimately he would be losing money unless someone signed him for at least $2.66 million prorated the rest of the year, which, you know, obviously the calculation, you know, I'm not saying this is the only reason he's chose not to do that, but I'm sure it's a part of it, right? So he stuck around twice after getting DFA'd. Now, you know, as far as what he's done, I mean, you look at the numbers in AAA, you know, he's striking out a batter per inning a little bit more. It's not like the numbers are dominant by any means. You know, I think that the big thing for the Rangers and the thing that really, you know, helped him in 2023, he started to really limit the walks. And, you know, he was a strikeout pitcher last year before he got hurt, you know, more so than we'd ever previously seen. He struck out around a batter per inning last season, and before he had his first dose of shoulder injury, he was at, you know, more than a batter per inning, but the walks were also up. You know, he was almost walking a batter every other inning. And, you know, in 2023, the walks were down considerably from where they had been in previous years. I think that ultimately with the role the Rangers have designed for him, which is, you know, right now is a long man, someone who can eat innings and maybe pitch situationally in a middle relief role, They're not looking for him to be a high leverage reliever. They're not looking for him right now to stay in the rotation. Maybe he gets a spot start here or there. That's possible. They want a guy who's going to give them a good chance by not giving up freebies. And, you can look at his numbers in the minor leagues so far this year. He's walked, 18, and I'm looking at it right now, 46 in the third innings. But it's tough to know how those numbers translate, when you're in a big league setting for a variety of reasons. So that to me, when he's on the mound, he's got to limit the walks. And when he was at his best, that's what he was doing, as simple as that sounds.
Justin Foscue gets the call up for Jake Berger. He's playing first, and of course he'll be at the bottom of the lineup tonight. But how's Justin been doing this year and the expectation for him coming up? I mean, you're looking for any kind of spark you can get right now.
Yeah, he's done well, and he's kind of in that phase where it's like, are you a 4A player or are you a major league player? Yeah. Because I don't want to say he's proven all he can prove in AAA, but, I don't think that there's any question whether or not he can hit AAA pitching, right? The things working against him are that defensively he's very limited. He technically can play a few different positions, but, he's not really an asset defensively. You can play him at first or DH. It's not like he's great on the bases. So, he's not a guy that's going to provide that sort of asset on the bench, right? So he's kind of got to be in a situation where he's going to have a defined role as a hitter. And right now it might be facing lefties. Maybe he can earn his way into being a more regular contributor in the meantime, because I don't think people look at Justin Foscue and think, well, yeah, I mean, his best bet is just to be a platoon hitter. Listen, when you make a guy a first round pick, the hope is that he can be an everyday hitter. And I think there's some teams out there who maybe would view him as that, but you've got to have a very specific opening in your roster for it to make sense to have him. And so he's up here now. He's riding an 0-39 dating back to last year. His last hit was against the Orioles in July of 2024. He even admitted that weighed on him through the offseason. I mean, think about that. That'd be really tough to go into an offseason with an 0-39 when you haven't yet established yourself as a big league player. If Mike Trout goes into an offseason 0-39, probably stinks, but probably isn't going to impact a guy as much as it would impact someone like Justin Foscue. So he's getting the start today. I think he could earn at bats, but he's got to really earn them, right? This isn't like a Alejandro Osuna situation where when he came up, he was getting at bats. They were going to give him a little bit of a runway. I think with Justin Foscue, he's got to really show that he's got an ability to help out this team. And obviously, that bar is not incredibly high right now because this is not a lineup that's rocking and rolling. And, any sign of life, I think, would give a guy like Justin Foscue an opportunity to get some at bats.
Jared, what has been more of a problem with the Orioles? Has it been their pitching or their hitting?
That's a good question, Broadus. I think ultimately I'll say this. The biggest problem for me with the Orioles, I think about when we were here in 2023, and I remember when the Rangers and Orioles played in the postseason, I certainly had this thought, and I probably voiced it at some point, hey, this could be a cool rivalry over the next several years, because it looked like the Rangers, were going to be in the playoffs regularly, and certainly looked like maybe the Rangers. I thought the Orioles were the 2011 Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought the Orioles were the team that the Rangers caught at the right time, just like the Mavericks did, a year before they really were going to take off, because I think the thought was, well, they're going to invest in pitching. And David Rubenstein took over ownership last year. Everyone thought, they're going to finally start to spend in ways that the Angelos family didn't, and that just hasn't been the case. I thought their offseason was malpractice, to be honest with you. To have as talented of a lineup as they have, for them to not do nearly enough to try and, aid their pitching staff, to me was criminal. So I think that's the biggest problem, Broadus. Now, beyond that, you'd have to look at it similarly to the Rangers, where, in spring training, when you're talking about the Orioles, much like with the Rangers, you're talking about, hey, this is a team that's going to be able to score a lot of runs. And so, the pitching has not been very good, and their bullpen has been really inconsistent. Felix Bautista coming back from Tommy John hasn't been the same guy he was pre-Tommy John. Yennier Cano hasn't been great. But ultimately, I think that the slow start that the lineup got off to really amplified some of the struggles in the rotation, because I think the thought was, they'd be winning games 8-6 and 9-5 and 8-7 and stuff like that, and they just weren't doing that at all. So I still think that ultimately their lineup is going to come around. Gunnar Henderson's been hitting better here of late, and Jordan Westberg missed some time. He's not in the lineup today. He's healthy. So I think long term, the pitching is the bigger concern. But I think, you know, Brandon Hyde sitting on a couch right now more because the lineup just didn't do its thing as opposed to the pitching. But I think it really all dates back to the offseason. I don't think they did nearly enough to try and help support a team that had, you know, legitimate World Series chops.
Rangers pregame coming up here at 5. CY is going to join us in about 5 minutes. Now, I wanted to ask you about Corey Seager. How long do you think this slump continues for?
Good question. You know, Gavin, I think about, you know, the lack of power we've seen, and, you know, a lot of times that's lower body, right? You know, a guy's not, let's say a guy's totally healthy. He's just, his body's not in sync. The lower body, the upper half, it's just not in sync. He's obviously not on time on pitches, and you know, that's usually a mechanical thing, especially a guy like Corey Seager, who has never had an issue with pitch recognition and swing decisions and stuff like that. But now we factor in that there is a lower body thing, you know, that he's clearly playing through. I wonder how much that has to do with it. Not that he hasn't played through pain and had a lot of success before, but maybe it's thrown off his timing. But yeah, it's not fair to say that, you know, the Rangers' struggles are tied to him. But the guy who's got the biggest upside in terms of being able to be an aircraft carrier for this lineup is Corey. He's off today. That was always planned. He was either going to be off yesterday or today. Boach decided to pencil him yesterday, so he's off today. But yeah, hopefully after an off day and then another one coming up on Thursday, he can be charged up and ready to go, because the Rangers need to take 2 or 3 from Baltimore. If they do, hey, good road trip. And then you go to you go back home with the Mariners coming to town, and you really need to start winning divisional series against the Mariners and the Astros to get back in this.
Yeah, the time's now, man, because you're looking at this division, and I mean, I don't know how much time you can wait around now. The Astros are starting to play some damn good ball. I mean, how much are you kind of keeping an eye on what the Astros and Mariners are doing right now?
Yeah, still, the Mariners are the team that scares me the most. I look at some of the numbers for both teams, and again, people might say, oh, it's bias or whatever. Go back, listen to the tape. You know, from 2016 through 2023. And I was singing the Astros praises, you know, through my, you know, despise of them. But I just don't see it. And frankly, I'll say this. I didn't see it with the Astros last year, and they won the division. Now I would contend that there really wasn't a good team in the division last year. They just were the best of the bunch, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason to make an apology for that, because it might be the case this year, right? I mean, the Rangers right now, if you were to look at it, taking a step back, they're under 500. So you can't sit here and say that they're, you know, they've been a good team. The Mariners, I think, have been disappointing to some degree. And, you know, the Astros have been the best of the bunch. I expect them to regress a little bit. The question for me with the Mariners, now that Logan Gilbert's healthy and George Kirby's healthy, if they can maintain some level of health with their pitching staff, then, you know, I still think that that's the better of the two. But the Rangers obviously hope that they can be in that conversation, but they, you know, they got to start scoring runs more regularly if they're going to be in that conversation.
We'll drink to that, Sands. Have a great night. We'll catch you up with you tomorrow.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Jared Sandler, same to you. Brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing here on 105 Through the Fan every Rangers game day. And the president of baseball operations, Chris Young, joins us next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's T or Men'sTClinic.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah, buddy, it's time for the Chris Young Show, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And here he is, the Rangers president of baseball operations, Chris Young, here on The Fan. And a good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
Doing well. Thank you. What'd you think of that weekend? Successful, right?
Well, anytime you win series, you feel good about it. When you win the first two games of a series, you obviously want to get greedy and get the third. And we got off to a good start yesterday and had a 2-0 lead and couldn't hold it and really couldn't answer. And so taking 2 of 3 was a positive, but certainly anytime you can grab 3 of 3, you want to go for it. So now we've got that opportunity in Baltimore. It's a good team that hasn't really played up to their capabilities, so we've got our work cut out for us, but hopefully we can continue the progress we made in Pittsburgh and have a good series here.
So on being unable to hold the lead, where are you guys right now looking at Jack Leiter's recent run of starts?
Well, this is part of a normal progression with a young rookie starter. Most of you rookie starters go through their bumps in the road like this, and really what we want to find out is how he responds. We have a pretty good idea of some corrections he needs to make and just being more competitive in the strike zone and cleaning up a couple mechanical things. But, the stuff is there. His ability to compete, we've seen at times, is very, very good. So now it's the consistency, and that's the next step for him. But this is normal for a young starter. And there are times where the offense has to pick us up as well. That, you know, we're going to have these moments from Kamara, Jack, and other starters where we're going to give up a few runs, and there's times where we have to win a game offensively, and yesterday was one of those games, and we didn't do it.
How are you feeling right now about the lineup? As you mentioned, the issues with runners in scoring position, the timely hitting. I mean, I know that's things that it's cliche and we talk about, but certainly it's kind of hovering over the club right now.
No, you're right, and we know that, and I think that some of that's just the guys putting a little extra pressure on themselves in those situations, and we have to just relax and know that this is a team game, and if one guy doesn't get it done, the next guy certainly can pick his teammate up, and each guy doesn't have to do it every time they're up at the plate, but I think they're putting that individual pressure on themselves, and the game's hard, especially when you're pressing, and so we've got to find a way to get those big hits or have quality at bats with runners in scoring position, and start pushing across more runs. I think the difference from early in the season was that we really weren't getting opportunities with runners in scoring position. Now we are. We're putting base runners on base. We're getting opportunities with runners in scoring position, but now the next step is finding a way to get that big hit with the runner in scoring position and extending the inning.
Corey Seager is so fascinating and so great with his intensity and sort of this mystique behind his preparation. Is he one of the guys that's pressing? What's going on with Corey right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think Corey, he's such a perfectionist, and he's so dedicated to his craft, and he knows how important he is to our team. I have no doubt that he's pressing a little bit, and that's part of the issues that we're seeing in terms of his performance. But I also have complete confidence that this is Corey Seager, who's one of the best players in the game. He was an MVP candidate a couple years ago. He truly is a remarkable player and a special player, and he's going to get through this. He'll figure it out. But I think for everybody, all of our hitters, just to relax and go up there and just have quality at bats and not put too much pressure, not expand, not let the situation dictate their mentality, rather let their mentality be the same in every situation. And I think if we can do that, we'll start scoring some runs here.
Hey, CY, I was just curious about with Osuna, how do you, on the major league level, measure like the amount of at bats he's getting now as opposed to where he might be getting more appearances in the minor leagues? How do you have that balance there?
It's a great question. And, you know, the reality is we probably had to call him up a little bit earlier than we wanted. We would have preferred a little bit more developmental time in AAA. You know, we've tried to sprinkle in playing time for him to make sure that he doesn't sit too long. But it's a hard needle to thread when you're balancing winning and development. And the reality is that at some point we have to make a decision as a front office. If he's not getting enough playing time and it is impairing his development, we're going to need to get him back to AAA where he'll get at bats and continue his developmental progress.
It's Chris Young here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, so pretty cool here. There's some good things going on with this organization to keep you guys in the fight. And one of the cool things is six straight first-round picks on the big league club right now. How satisfied are you guys with the system producing big league talent overall?
Yeah, it's always important that you hit on your guys at the top of the draft. And to have six first-rounders in the big leagues right now is really awesome. I would add Evan Carter and Jake Latz to that list as well as homegrown players. Cole Wynn, obviously, in the bullpen is one of those first-rounders. But I think it's a great win developmentally. I think we're doing some very good things developmentally. Our PD group has done a tremendous job, our amateur scouting group. And, you know, this is a fun time of year for me organizationally because we're about to infuse the next round of talent into the organization. And anytime you bring in new talent, it just gives everybody some life. It interjects some life into the organization. And I think it's a great thing for us. And it's a fun time of year. So, but it is important that we continue that. And I think, like you said, the number of first rounders in the big leagues right now, I think signifies in a lot of ways the success and the health of the organization.
And it was great how your scouts and you found and managed to sign some relievers, including a homegrown guy. I don't know if you've talked to you about Hobie Milner, but I mean, what a great contract to bring him in the year that he's having. Is this a guy you want to have around for a while?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, what Hobie's done, he's kind of been a jack of all trades for our bullpen and assumed a number of roles. He's pitched length a couple times, you know, multiple innings. He's pitched leverage. He's not afraid of any situation. And it's really important that, you know, we continue to identify players like that, that we can find to bring in and get the best out of. Our player development group and our pro personnel group have done a tremendous job of identifying players across the league. And Hobie was one of those players. I'd put Sean Armstrong in that bucket. We traded for Robert Garcia. Really, we had to reconstruct the entire bullpen, and a number of those guys have been significant contributors to, you know, what is the lowest lowest runs allowed pitching staff in the big league. So I'm very proud of the work our group has done, but we have to continue that. We need to continue to find ways to improve our team over the course of the season. And again, Mike Parnell, who leads our pro scouting department, he and his team have done a tremendous job, and very proud of the work they've done.
I mean, speaking of filling multiple roles, and you brought up Jacob Latz, do you view him as a starter?
We won't put limits on him. I think the most important thing for Jake is to find some success at the big league level and experience success, build that confidence. And then from there, he does have the quality of pitches to be a starting pitcher. So we won't put limits on him. Right now, we have him in a multi-inning relief role. I wouldn't I wouldn't rule out him being a closer at some point or a pitching leverage. But I also think he could start, and he's going to start tomorrow night most likely if Sean Armstrong doesn't open for him. But he's been so good of recent, and we just want to see him continue that. But I think you're seeing a pitcher who's pitching with confidence, who knows he belongs in the big leagues, who's got extreme talent, and it's kind of all come together right now. It's really fun to watch.
If I asked Chris Young, which I am right now, what kind of drafter would you be if you could trade picks? If you can move around a board and navigate with the way you kind of think things through, do you think would that be something you would welcome?
Well, yes, I would, because I think it's just another creative way for organizations to improve their team. And probably the best way to describe my style would be just aggressive in terms of if there's a player that I feel like is right for our organization or will help our team, I'm going to do what we can to try to put ourselves in the best position to acquire that player, whether it's in the draft or trades or free agency. And so that's probably the style, but I can't say that would always be trading up or selling picks or whatever. It would just be once we identify the talent we want, we will be aggressive in trying to acquire that player.
So the annual question of the injury updates with our arms here, when are we going to get to see Evo? I know we're all fired up for that. How are Mally, yeah. Gray, and Bradford all doing?
Yeah, Evo threw a live BP in Pittsburgh. He looked great. It was fun to see him out there. Ball was really jumping out of his hand. Our expectation, assuming the next couple days go well, is that he is going to jump back in the rotation this weekend, most likely Friday. It could be Saturday, but most likely Friday night at home. So it'll be great to have Evo back. Cody Bradford and John Gray continue to make progress. Cody dealt with a little bit of a sickness last week that we had to kind of delay his schedule. So we're kind of getting him back to full health here, but he's doing wonderfully. John Gray continues to make progress as well. He threw an up and down bullpen in Pittsburgh, kind of in between innings of Evo's live BP. So we're getting close to a live BP for Gray, and at which point he'll be ready for a rehab assignment as well. So we're making good progress there.
How were you doing last week on the other side of that Royals series? That tick you off?
Well, yeah, you know, we had a good weekend against the White Sox in sweeping them, and then obviously had a chance to make it a pretty good homestand by just winning one of three games against Kansas City, much less, you know, two of three and making it a great homestand going 5-1. And instead we got swept and went 3-3. And, you know, by a team that kind of came into the series struggling, it wasn't the best showing by our group offensively. We really struggled. We pitched okay. We really struggled offensively. And so it was important that we went into Pittsburgh and at least won the series. But yes, anytime you get swept and swept at home and swept by a team that, you know, really hasn't been playing well, it's frustrating. And so part of that is baseball, and part of that is just the story of our season thus far, is that we've had a lack of consistency, especially offensively. So I am excited about getting our group healthy and together. I hope that, like we said earlier, that the runners in scoring position opportunities are going to start leading to more runs. And when this team gets hot, if we pitch the way we've pitched and the offense improves, even just a little bit, a marginal improvement, it doesn't have to be a drastic improvement. I think we're going to win a lot more games.
Look at this OPS for Adolis Garcia, 871 in the month of June. I'd say we got that to head in the right direction, right?
There's no doubt. And the credit goes to Adolis, what he's done in terms of kind of a swing mechanic change and a mental change in terms of the approach. He's really executed very well. It's been fun to see. And I think it's a great example of the coaching staff being very proactive and making changes, identifying that what he was doing was not working. We had to make some changes, and that the player bought in and he was willing to commit to those changes. And the results have been very, very solid. So the hope is that he continues to do that in terms of the performance. But the commitment that he made is tremendous, and he deserves all the credit for the success he's having.
See, why we all love the home run, but you're so right with how well this pitching staff has been this year. Would you like to see a little bit more small ball? I've always had an appreciation for that. Maybe lay down some bunches, anything you can to scrape away a couple runs.
Yeah, it's not necessarily small ball versus, you know, trying to play, I guess, big boy baseball and hit for power. I think what it is just adjusting to the need of the team. And the reality is that we have not slugged the way we expected to, and we're not scoring, you know, the five runs a game that maybe we had hoped to score coming into the season. You know, the bright side is that we don't need five runs a game to win. I think, you know, most people have probably identified the four number as the number we need, the magic number for us to score, to win most games or have a very good chance of winning. And so I guess really what I'd say to answer your question is that I'm in favor of whatever style we need to play to get those four runs. And at times that is a small ball style of play. That is just executing with runners in scoring position. And it may be we get first and second and no outs, and we play for one run instead of a crooked number in those innings. And so, yes, I do support that. It's something Boch and I have talked about. It's not something Boch has done historically a lot over the course of his career from a managerial standpoint, but we both agree that there are moments now where perhaps we're better off just putting one runner on third base with less than two outs and trying to score one versus trying to play for three or four in a big inning.
I love it. First pitch in an hour, sir. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Guys, thanks so much. Have a great week, and we'll see you at the ballpark soon here.
Sounds good. Yeah, there he goes. CY would love to see him on an upcoming Friday during a homestand. Mariners in town this weekend. Are we out there again? Are we out there Friday?
Monday next week.
Monday next week we're out there. Okay, that's great. Okay, so we will see him a week from today out there at the Globe. That's going to be a big series. Man, they got to take two or three here and then really grapple with the Mariners. Okay, speaking of big boy baseball, Jake Berger's oblique. We're hoping for the best on that. But around the bases coming up next, Wolchuk, where are you taking it?
Well, we had a broadcaster flub, an epic manager rant, and what we learned about our Rangers. That is...
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Next. Thank you very much, Lucius, and thanks to Chris Young, who just joined us. If you have the Odyssey app or Twitch, YouTube, however you're listening, other than terrestrial radio, you can go back with instant rewind functionality, get that whole CY interview. Man, he was good again. He's amazing. It's brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. And here's Wolchuk with a proper round tripper.
All right, so the Rangers don't have to see the Mets until September, but for that, you know, just... previous months now, we just need to be ready for Mets reliever Richard Lovelady. The beat there in New York has requested that Richard go by his nickname Dickie. So he wants to go by Dickie Lovelady from here on out. So whenever that series circles around.
Are we getting butt cracked here, Wolchuk?
This is 100% Anthony DiComo, who is a Mets beat writer, has informed all of us that Dickie Lovelady is how he will be called from here on out instead of Richard Lovelady.
Dickie is a 1940s name. Like, that's like if, like, I watched the show, you guys probably never did, The Crown.
Never heard of it.
I know exactly the show you're talking about. I did not watch it.
The Crown is about, you know, the Queen Elizabeth, her story. And so what happens, like, her rise to a young lady, you know, and then through her life. And like, her family members were always called, like, Dickie.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're, like, the brother was... Oh, Dickie, he was, you know, such a, you know, and everybody was like...
Very posh.
Yeah, very much so.
Very posh. So
I don't know why I brought that up.
No,
might be the
I
Mets.
Appreciate that. Dickie Lovelady, big-time reliever there for the Mets. Yeah. You got a big-time dub yesterday. The LSU Tigers winning their
second
College World Series in 3 years, man.
Yeah, number eight.
Number eight.
We're in quite a role for our athletic program except for football right now. We've got our women's basketball, our women's gymnastics.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of men's baseball We got a track and field one we were a part of.
Yeah, hey, so, maybe football with Nuss.
If you go back to, I take this back. If you go back to 2019,
yeah,
and then come this way with it,
hell of a run.
We're having a decent run.
Yes,
Dickie fell out of the top 1,000 for new boys' names by 1969, and by 2014, fewer than 5 U.S. babies were given that name.
That's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was 6 years old when somebody was calling their kid Dickie.
It's an old name. It really is. And I guess that's his nickname. His real name is Richard. He just likes to be called.
I used the word, don't be a ham. You know, I called Vosh a ham. I go, you're such a ham. He goes, what's a ham? And I go, oh, that's just like an old man term.
Showed your age a little bit.
Well, yeah, like your show off. You're a ham. Okay. You're a ham. So
he's good at hamming it up.
He can ham it up.
Don't be a ham.
Yeah, don't be a ham.
Was Kevin Schnall being a ham yesterday? Coastal Carolina's head coach gets ejected, but then gives us this epic post-game reaction.
If you guys watched the video, there was a guy that came in extremely aggressively, tripped over Campos's foot, embarrassed in front of 25,000, immediately goes 2-game suspension and said, bumping the umpire. Immediately does that. There was no bump. He was embarrassed. I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism.
That is he's such a great lie.
He's not lying, though. That umpire tripped on his own feet.
Oh, he so did.
Now, the 2-game suspension, like, if they would have played...
It would have been tonight.
It would have been tonight, right.
And he wouldn't have been able to coach.
He wouldn't
have
been able to manage, but now that carries at the start of next season, from what I understand. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, the ejection, fine. But the 2-game suspension was totally because this guy was embarrassed, he tripped, and tried to say that it was his fault, Schnall's fault, that as to why he fell, when there was no contact.
There was no contact at all. I could say, I'll tell you what, and he had a problem with being shushed. Or that was the problem he had with the umpire, like waving him off. He's like, "Hey, listen, I'm not getting waved off by you. I'm a grown man." He gave it Mike Gundy speech. I'm a grown man. Yeah. He gave it that speech.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Don't be waving me off, kind of a thing.
We now go to St. Louis, and their broadcast team, Chip Carey, the St. Louis Cardinals announcer, and they were celebrating on FanDuel Sports Network in the Midwest Disability Pride Night. And he had a read that he had to do, and Chip Carey, he had a little bit of a fumble.
Disability Pride Night is Thursday, July 10th, and with the theme ticket, fans take home a Cardinals cap featuring the Disability Pride flag and Cardinals in Braille. Details at cardinals.com/theme.
I didn't keep it in, but there were 31 seconds of just awkward silence.
Yeah, I heard that earlier on KNC.
Yeah,
Chief had a brilliant segment.
That was bad.
Recapping some of the audio over the weekend.
That was rough.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. You know, I've been there. I haven't had one quite that bad, Wolchuk.
Yeah, that can happen to the best of us. With Flagtober, just make sure you enunciate the flag.
Yeah.
Part of it. And
by the way, Dawson and the boss are working on really cool flags.
I can't wait. I mean, every year it seems like we've been one up in the previous year.
Yeah, brilliant design.
This is gonna be badass.
It's gonna look good.
Dawson's got a good eye for this thing.
That's right.
We were able to keep the grenade or no grenade?
I don't know if grenade is back this year or
we'll see.
But something good.
Yeah.
What have we learned about our Texas Rangers? Well, they still can't hit very well. But we've got the All-Star conversation, and this is just bizarre. Corey Seager's still 10th among shortstops, and Jock Peterson is 9th among designated hitters.
We're doing bits.
We're doing bits. No other Rangers. Josh Smith is getting no love here.
So it's just name recognition.
That's all it is. It's just the fan voting here, and they're like, oh, I recognize his name.
They don't know DeGrom's healthy. They probably voted for him 2 years
ago.
He's hurt.
He's still out,
Dawson,
right?
Tommy John,
7th time?
Did you ever vote for the All-Star game where you had to punch actual ballot?
Yeah.
See, we wouldn't be doing bits if we had to punch the actual ballot.
No, you'd be sitting at the game.
No, it takes you time and effort.
Got to hand those things in.
Adolis has been fantastic. You brought that up with Chris Young a little bit earlier. And the heat, it has been pretty damn hot out there lately. I know it was hot in Pittsburgh. It's supposed to be pretty hot in Baltimore.
I think De La Cruz was vomiting.
De La Cruz was vomiting out in the outfield.
Look, this was not something that I think Rangers fans were worried about, right? You're playing out there in Arlington without the roof. Like, yeah. You guys are dealing with the worst conditions probably in Major League Baseball. Now with the roof, you got 72. It's nice and comfortable. Hell, Kamar Rocker is cramping up having to just chug pickle juice to stay hydrated. Well, but now going on the road, you're playing in the 90 degrees.
Yeah, I think a couple of things with it, it's been cooler. So when you suddenly get the heat snap that was on the East Coast and the Midwest, your body doesn't have time to get used to it. And then what the other thing on top of that is players get this false sense of security every winter and spring, and they got to get scared back into hydrating around the clock in a moment like this. Yeah. But this is as bad as I'd seen it across the game this weekend.
Really bad. Yeah. I mean, I guess, their bodies just weren't ready for it.
How about Dawson when they had the artificial turf? Remember days like in Kansas City?
Because it's 120.
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
That's true.
They had all these artificial turf places that were really bad to play.
Well, because it magnifies it. Yeah. It goes to like 115. Yeah, 100-degree day, it's 115 on that turf.
Yeah. Smoldering. Yeah. Our old buddy Max Scherzer, he's going to return on Wednesday for Toronto. I will see how long Max is able to stay out there. He's had thumb inflammation.
Yeah.
Thumb inflammation. Is that like gout for the thumb?
That's being old.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's time to retire.
Your body is screaming, "Give it up!" from every possible angle.
My man's still getting paid by three teams.
I'm over all tap.
I mean, if they give you $15 million to do it again, everybody's going to try it again.
Shouldn't say screw it. Why not?
Right?
I'll hang around. Give me the ball.
All right. Thank you, Wolchuk. And CY joined us back there at 4:20. If you want to go back and listen with the Odyssey app, the pregame is coming up here in just about 5 minutes or so. We did get the news and the confirmation of Aldi probably back this weekend. He did throw a bullpen over the weekend, and we're heading in the right direction. And, you know, before too long, they're going to be healthy. But Dane Dunning is back, you know, to be an arm as Patrick Corbin toes the rubber tonight. All-star voting. Let's get in there and let's have a late campaign for DeGrom so at least he gets the fan recognition he deserves.
Do the managers pick the pitchers, the starting
managers
pitchers?
Managers will end up picking the starting pitchers, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay there.
We definitely will. Yeah, and maybe DeGrom will be the only one, although Evaldi and Mally, if you look at the advanced stats, definitely have a compelling argument in there as well. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went three flawless. Got it stuck on automatic. Thanks to Carter Freeman for coordinating our video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And thanks to Wolchuk and Broadus. And I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation Eddies.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.